Hello, everybody, and welcome to Tech Actually, episode 97 for the 21st of August, 2010. And before we do anything else, I have to apologize for last week. And we are going to talk about that in our featured section this week, in our, like our topic of the week, because it was kind of fun. We had a little bit of a science project this week.
Oh, yes.
And so we're going to discuss that a little bit more. But long and the short of it is, we actually had a crash on our main production machine, which is the one that actually does all of our video serving, and the hard drive killed itself. I mean, quite literally killed itself. I have not been able to recover a thing off of it, and I have been doing many, many different forms of software. But anyway, we'll come back to that in the main topic. What is this? This is Tech Actually. This is the official tech podcast of the Geek Actually Network or geekactually.com, and I am Dave McVeigh, and I am joined, as always, by Josh Philpott. How are you?
I'm okay. See, I thought I'd just throw you again. I'm not good. I'm not bad. I'm okay.
Right.
Back's a little sore.
Oh, wait a minute. I have to correct that introduction, by the way. Let me just start again. I'm going to say I am joined in studio today by host of DLC Live and published freelance journalist Josh Philpott.
You see, I haven't even put that up on my site yet. Well done, Dave. Yes. No. For anybody that's wondering what Dave is going on about, I had my first major publication entry this week, I guess, in the Australian 360 magazine, where I have a two-page article about the R18 rating. So, very excited about that.
I think it's very cool.
Yes, well, I actually tried to bring it in with me, but I actually couldn't find a newsagent that had it in stock. It all
sold
out.
You're so popular.
Yep. It was all because of my article. Whoa. No, not really. Anyway, but yes, so that's that. Dave, what are you doing?
I've just realized that I forgot to tweet this out. So as I'm talking to you, I'm tweeting at the same time, isn't it?
All right.
It's called multitasking. So I'll try not to let this interfere with what we're talking about here. But what was your article about? This is very important because of today.
Yes. Well, it was, like I was saying before, about the R18 rating. It was just kind of a recap for people about where we are and where we stand, but more importantly, where we have to go from here, because everybody seems to have forgotten about it.
They have, ever since the meeting was held. And we're going to send that away. There we go. Now you've got my full focus.
As I said in the article, it's quite funny because we were expecting either a yes or a no, and we actually got a maybe.
We got a, it's inconclusive.
Yeah, exactly. We got a, yeah, maybe it could happen. And yeah. We all just kind of went, oh, well, we don't know how to deal with that. And we just kind of
We kind of went, at least it wasn't a no.
Yeah.
You know, but anyway, we've got the federal election happening today as we speak. Now, for those who are listening to the audio, it's already happened. And you've already got a prime minister, whether it's Julie Gillard or we've got a new prime minister, who knows. But if you're listening to us live, we've got a couple of things we're going to talk about today when it comes to this election. One of the things is, of course, the National Broadband Network, because let's face it, this is the week that geeks are going to vote. Now, there are lots of issues that they're throwing around. They're throwing around the economy. They're throwing around interest rates. They're throwing around boat people. They're throwing around all this sort of stuff. And all I can say is it's all beat up. Okay. As far as all of these other issues are concerned, quite frankly, the parties are pretty much exactly the same.
Yeah.
We have a strong economy. We have low interest rates. We have low unemployment. Whether, I mean, as far as, you know, the Western countries are concerned, we're actually doing pretty damn well at the moment.
Yeah.
And so we look at it and go, anything they say are pretty much scare tactics,
right?
The boat people, as I was talking to my wife downstairs, only represent less than 2% of immigration coming into this country. Mm. And, you know, it's like, you know, boat people come. And let's face it, there's an awful lot of these boat people are actually coming from Afghanistan. We helped destroy their country. So I think it's in our interest to help them out a little bit, you know? So, you know, I just think the whole thing is just ridiculous. However, the thing that does really affect geeks is technology. And when it comes to technology, these two parties stand for two very different things. Now, Tony Abbott has already said that he stands for dismantling the National Broadband Network as it stands right now. He says if he is elected prime minister, the first thing he will do is stop it. Bang. That's it. End of story. He's cobbled together with his communication minister, who is the invisible man, mind you. I can't even remember what his name is off the top of my head. I think it's something Smith, quite frankly. But he basically has cobbled together a broadband plan that would basically get our maximum speeds at about 12 megabits per second, which is still, you know, reasonable broadband, but slow in the great scheme of things.
And in comparison to what?
Oh, in comparison to like third world countries like Brazil. I will say, though, that no matter what happens, as bad as our national broadband may be at this point in time, it is better than the States is at the moment. Yes, America has unlimited accounts and stuff like that with Comcast, but their overall bandwidth speeds are actually not great. And they've been talking about rolling out some sort of national broadband themselves for a long time. They have a much bigger country. It is a lot harder to do. We're not talking about landmass here. We're talking about 300 million people as opposed to our piddly little, what is it, 21, 20, whatever it is, million people. The National Broadband Network has already started rolling out. It's already in Tasmania. They're already, if you go to the website, you can actually see the rollouts, the stages, how they're happening. I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be fiber to the house. They're going to completely redo the infrastructure to this country. This country needs an infrastructure update, and I think this is fabulous. $43 billion, you know what? They keep going on about deficits and surpluses, and all I can say is this. As far as I'm concerned, and you can argue with me if you want, Josh, because I look forward to it, and the chat room can argue with me too if they want to. Governments should not have massive surpluses. Now, the reason why I say that is because if a government has massive surplus, what does that mean? That means they're not spending anything.
Yeah.
And if they're not spending anything, who suffers? We do. Okay? So I look at it and go, the fact that the Liberal Party had massive surpluses says that they are not spending enough on infrastructure and services.
Yeah.
So I would actually say to you that all countries in this glorious globe that we call Earth basically work on a debt concept. All countries have national debts in one way or another. And so I sit there and say $43 billion, considering how much it costs us to send people to Afghanistan and fight wars, $43 billion is not a lot of money. And so I sit there and go, and as you know, they've said many times, it's actually a little bit cheaper than the original $43 billion price tag. Anyway, what do you think of all this so far?
What? So far?
So far, in this debate. I've got a few more points that we're going
to
make.
But... You know that I stand on the side of getting this, dude. So, you know, like, there is always in me the fact that I just think we should definitely head towards kind of rolling this out further. And I think it's such a stupid thing that they're planning to just destroy what we've already built.
I think because how many millions of dollars have already been spent?
Yeah, and what happens to people like Tasmania? Do they still keep it, or do they destroy that?
I guess it's there now. I mean, they're not going to rip it out of the ground.
So, like, I love the fact that the fallout to this, if they got elected, would be the fact that, you know, the smallest part of our country would be receiving the best internet in the entire country.
Well, they've been stiffed on so many other things, maybe they deserve it.
No, they don't. They're Tasmania. We love you, Tasmania.
We love you, Tasmania. We love you.
I'm kidding.
And
Jesus.
Snake has joined us in the chat room. I want to say, because we couldn't do it last week because we weren't on, I want to wish Snake Oz in our chat room a very happy birthday, because his birthday was last week when we were doing the show.
He came and watched the movie with us. That was very, very
special. On Friday night. So happy birthday, Snake.
It was kind of like our own little birthday thing for him.
And he's now talking about his iPad. So he got his iPad. So, Snake, are you rich? That's the question we have to ask.
Why would he be rich?
Because remember the article that we did a few weeks ago that said all iPad users are rich and arrogant and bastards, remember?
I do remember that.
Snake was waiting. He said as soon as he got his iPad, he wanted to check his bank account and see if he suddenly became rich.
No, the survey lied.
Survey lied. Lies, I tell you.
I just wanted to give a special shout out to Northy for his great comment before about how he wants me to fight Scott Pilgrim style Chris Stead, who's a local journalist. I'll tell you this, Northy, there is the possibility in the works that maybe one day we might eventually get Chris on the show on Raw DLC. So when we do... I will let him know that was the planned escapade, and I'll just pass him a sword and be like, "This is on right now."
But do you get flaming swords? That's what I want to know.
I'm sure I can figure out something to set my house.
Now, Northy is also the one in the chat room who said that he voted for the guy who didn't know what the internet was, figured it was safer. All right, now speaking of that, let's actually talk about one of the guys who didn't know what the internet was, or he knows what the internet is, but he's completely inadequate, which is, of course, Tony Abbott, who has basically come out and said, quote unquote, "I'm no Bill Gates." Thank God. But anyway, he says...
What does that even mean?
He basically says that he doesn't really understand what all of this broadband thing is. He actually said in an interview I saw him on the other day, he said, I get my email and, you know, my email seems to come through fast enough and I check websites and they seem to be fast enough. So what's the problem? Good Lord.
Yeah, this man is going to be in charge of everything important to me.
Yeah.
It's fucking great.
Yeah, his exact quote that he told ABC television, by the way, was, "I'm no Bill Gates here, and I don't claim to be any kind of tech head."
And, great.
And what the scariest...
This man's running my country.
Yeah, well, not yet. Well, not yet he isn't. And the other thing that was actually really, really scary was the fact that Senator Smith, the... Liberal communications shadow minister, who will be our communications minister if they win the election, scary thought, basically had a debate with Stephen Conroy. Now, Stephen Conroy, as we all know, is a moron. And you know,
that is the best picture I've ever seen of that man.
It's such a good picture. I just brought up a picture of Conroy with a very silly face on. Excuse me. Now, Conroy has made a lot of mistakes, and he's done a lot of stupid decisions, and the whole thing with the national internet censorship filter, which, let me state, once again, this is also a beat-up in this election. If you haven't voted yet and you are in our chat room, be aware, the internet censorship filter is off the table. Yep. Don't vote against Labor because of that, because let's face it, it's not going to happen. Liberals have already said that they oppose it. It cannot happen, okay? Yeah. So we don't have to worry about that. So as far as technology is concerned, the one thing that Conroy did do right was the National Broadband Network, and he's been doing a very good job getting the National Broadband Network up and running. So I have to say at this point that if we're going to have a communications minister, Smith versus Conroy, I'm going to take Conroy any time of the day, because Smith really is the invisible man. He seems to know nothing. He's the one that's cobbled together this 12 megabit connection. And the latest thing, and this will be the last thing we'll harp on with this election, I promise, because I'm sure everybody's bored of the election. Yeah, I'm sure everybody's bored of the election.
No one wants to talk about it anymore. They're like, oh, God.
And yes, Snake, I want the sex party to get in somewhere as well. The only problem is I think the sex party may have shot themselves in the foot. The snake party. I want the snake party. Snake, run for office, quick. I think the sex party may have shot themselves in the foot, because if you go to their webpage is a very organized, very clean website that basically, when I say clean, I mean clean lines, design. Yeah. It got all their issues laid out. All of their issues are things that I stand for. I think it is fantastic. And then this election started and their campaign has been shit, quite frankly. It is stupid YouTube videos, and it's just completely devalued anything that they stood for.
Yeah.
And you just look at it and go, nobody's going to vote for you. You look like a joke.
Yeah,
and all I can think is you really did shoot yourself in the foot, because you did stand for something. And you already had an uphill battle to fight, because let's face it, the sex party is a hard sell.
Yeah.
Maybe they should have had a different name to start with. But anyway, but their values were good.
They needed that shock value, because they needed...
Maybe, but then they're going to have to work really hard to make people not squeamish about it.
Yeah.
And they didn't work hard. That was the problem. Anyway, the last thing I was going to say about this election was that the National Broadband Network, Stephen Conroy recently came out in the last 2 weeks and said that the original estimates on the National Broadband Network were it was actually going to be faster than originally proposed. It was originally proposed to be a fiber to the house 100 megabit connection. Yeah. He's now said that they're probably going to get a 1 gigabit connection out of this. And of course, the Liberal Party immediately jumped on him, saying, oh, these magic numbers, how convenient it is it suddenly did this. Anybody who knows anything about tech would know that the actual cabling, fiber cabling, isn't different between a gigabit and 100.
Absolutely.
That's
not
right. So what they've done over the course of the last year is they've managed to get in better servers that have been able to carry a gigabit connection.
Yeah.
This is not some magic number. This is actually a very reasonable thing saying, well, actually, our technology has gotten better since we first announced this. Yeah. So don't think it's some magic number for just a campaign. The 1 gigabit connection that he is promising is feasibly possible and is very, very likely. So I have to say, if it was a choice of a bad lot, let me tell you, it's one or the other. I was going to vote, I'm not allowed to vote in this country. I'm an American citizen. I voted in the American election, though, so I do say, you guys go vote.
Yeah.
If I was allowed to vote, I would say I'd be voting for the National Broadband Network, because all of the other policies, quite frankly, don't mean anything.
Yeah.
I think both parties will deliver exactly the same things. Now, had the internet censorship filter been on the table, they would have lost my vote right there. But the fact that that is now off the table, I say we haven't got a problem with that. All right, shall we move away from this election? Because quite frankly, there's only so much politics you can take in one day. And we're going to be glued to our TVs trying to figure out who our next prime minister is all night. So we might as well move on and talk about a few other bits of news. First of all, I just got to say, There was an article that came out this week. Some scientists are developing robots at the UK University of Hertfordshire. God, I love
robot stories. What are we doing with them this week?
They have created robots with emotions. What could possibly go wrong with that?
We're very good at this now, aren't we?
We are. We're getting very good at the what could possibly go wrong with that. Now, according to this, it says the robot was programmed with emotional traits by scientists at the UK's University of Hertfordshire. I'm reading from news.com.au, by the way. We're modeling the first years of life, said Lola Canamero, a computer scientist at the university. When Neo, that's the name of the robot, is sad, he hunches his shoulders. When happy, he raises his arms. He can even form bonds with people depending on how he is treated.
What could possibly go wrong with that?
Let's see. Let's extrapolate. He hunches his shoulders when he's sad. When he's happy, he raises his arms. When he's pissed off, he picks up a gun and kills you. Right? That's about
That's not in there. No. I imagine that's happened a few times.
I think that's the extrapolation I'm going for here.
Yeah. Dude, it reminds me of a really well-written story. If you guys ever get a chance to... It's kind of touched on in one of the Animatrix short films.
Yep.
But if you ever get the chance, go on to the... I'm not even sure if the Matrix website's still there, but the comics are still available. One of the comics is about the point we got to in society where basically the flip happened and robots decided to take up their own arms. But it's a great story because it's done
it's a two-part short, and the first one ends
because the whole thing's a court case. The end of it literally ends with it saying, "Why did you kill him?" And he basically turns around and says, "I was scared of dying." And it's like, you're giving a robot emotions. What in God's name?
Northy in our chat room has just said, this is scary. If it's modeled off scientists, then its emotional states will be unstable.
Well,
which is so true. And then Numero Zero has jumped in and said,
no, I'm sorry, but it doesn't matter that they're scientists. People are unstable. People are... Don't give them emotions. That's what makes things unstable.
Now, the acronym doesn't quite work, but the acronym, one of Josh and my favorite acronyms, of course, is PICNIC, which is problem in chair, not in computer, right? And you look at it and go, in this case, it's problem in scientist, not in robot, you know?
It's problem in computer, thanks to science.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm sorry. This is a terrible idea.
The idea of giving emotions, as somebody said, they're not sentient, but you know what? As soon as you start giving them emotions and you start giving them the concept of chaos thinking, where they can actually think outside of the box, you start creating sentience, you know?
No, I mean, the very concept of emotion is sentient. Like, to give somebody the ability to turn a feeling on and off, right, to react to situations is sentient.
Then all you have to do, you've got that, and then all you have to do is give them freedom of thought.
Oh, God.
And then at that point, you, as Popshot says, can we come? We want killer robots. Popshot says, shotgun wins over robot, unless it's made of Kevlar.
I think unless it's got any sort of protection on the front end of it, it's really not a good idea.
No, I don't think shotgun's going to win here. I think we need our laser weapons. When are we developing laser weapons?
Silently in the back of my head, I can just hear this.
Oh, I should have had that music so keyed up. I should have.
Oh, damn.
All right, let's talk about how Twitter can cause death. Now, this is actually one of those stories where you sit there and go, really? This actually managed to make a two-page article in news.com.au. Do you remember Heidi Montag? Heidi Montag was from The Hills, and we actually played that video in Geek Action many weeks ago, which showed her screen test for the Transformers, where she pulled her gun out and shot things. Heidi Montag actually had a whole bunch of plastic surgery and turned herself into Frankenstein's monster not so long ago. And what happened just this week was that her most brilliant surgeon, I quote her, the most brilliant surgeon who ever existed, actually performed 10 plastic surgery procedures on her in one sitting. Right, and did all of her plastic surgery in one day. Apparently, he was a genius surgeon, and he did all this. And I don't know. That's irrelevant to the story. The point is that he was actually driving home the other day, and he tweeted about his dog who is in his car.
Yeah.
Now get.
So he's tweeting.
Start piecing this together. He's driving while tweeting about his dog who is the passenger in the car, which means he is tweeting while he is driving. Apparently, several minutes later, he died. because he drove off the road and crashed. And I'm sorry to be laughing. It's not that he died that is funny. It's the fact that we are blaming Twitter for the fact that the man died when he shouldn't have been tweeting while driving. I mean,
how did Twitter have anything to do with this?
If anything,
we should be blaming his phone.
It's because his last words were... His last words were, "Border Collie Jill surveying the view from atop the sand dune." And then he was dead.
Sand dune?
No, I'm just telling you what he wrote. So, yeah, apparently he died.
I think it sounds like he was high.
It says, Ryan was killed just moments later when his 1995 Jeep Wrangler went over the side of the Pacific Coast Highway near Malibu and landed on its roof at 4:30 p.m. All I can say is, don't tweet and drive. It is bad enough that people are text messaging while they drive. Don't do that either.
No.
You know? But tweeting is, I mean, really? Haven't we learned anything in this world that you're driving a motor vehicle, keep your eyes on the road and your hands on the wheel? Simple.
Pretty much.
End of story. Simple.
Well, that's the way I thought it worked.
So there is your cautionary words. This man died while tweeting. Okay, now it says here, Northy says, technically we should be blaming everything on the stupidity of humans. I agree 100%.
Yes.
Everything should be blamed completely on the stupidity of humans, except for the fact that we have now finally got some decent download limits in this country. Now, this is a public service announcement. I'm not paid for this. They do not sponsor this show. Excuse me, but I have to mention this because Primus and IINet are currently locked in a battle at the moment to give people better broadband. Now, IINet, I read about this, and I actually went on there last night, and I will tell you my experiences. Mm. And if you are an IINet customer, do this immediately. If you are not an IINet customer, I would actually say, what are you waiting for? Go join IINet. You're going to get better service. Mm. IINet has finally offered 1 gigabyte limits. One terabyte.
I was about to say 1 gig, dude. That's
one terabyte caps on their accounts. Now, my first thought was, how much is this going to cost? You know.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I went to IINet last night. Now I'm an IINet subscriber, and I've been on a very, very high level account. Now, just to give you an idea, we were paying for 100 gig on, 100 gig off peak, so 200 gig altogether, with phone bundled. We were paying about $150 a month, right? I've actually just managed to reduce our bill by keeping exactly the same download limits. I didn't go to the 1 terabyte because I don't really need it at this point. But I went to they've rejigged all their bills. So I used to be on a Home 7 plan. Mm. The Home 2 plan is now exactly the same as what the Home 7 used to be. And it's $50 cheaper.
Wow.
And if I want the 1 terabyte plan, I could jump to the 1 terabyte plan and it's still cheaper than what I was paying originally. So we are finally starting to get decent download limits. This is going to make things like IPTV and stuff possible in this goddamn country. Because up until now, streaming video and stuff was going to kill you.
Yeah, okay, no, for sure.
Now, the reason why I say IINet and Primus, now I'm not a Primus customer. I used to be a long time ago. They pissed me off, so I'm not a Primus. But apparently they're locked into this match. iPrimus has now offered a 1.1 terabyte limit.
1.1. Wow, way to just slightly oversell it.
So they're jumping in there with a 1.1. And apparently the terabyte plans are also available on the Naked DSL. So if you're a Naked DSL subscriber, you can also get them on that. So you need to talk to Shane about going to have a look at that as well.
Yeah, I think I do.
This is really well worth having a look at. The IINet's ADSL2 Home 4 plan, this is straight from news.com.au, with its 500 gigabytes on peak, 500 gigabytes off peak, so 1 terabyte altogether, is $99.95 per month.
Wow.
So it really is something to have a look at. Anyway, so there you go. There's your public service announcement. Snake Oz says, 1 terabyte. Ouch, that's a lot of porn.
Yeah.
Yeah, baby. And Popshot says, oh, IINet, I want you. Yes. I've been an IINet customer for, oh boy, just about ever since they left Western Australia. Over 10 years ago. So I'm really happy with them. But let's talk about this man. Oh, hold on. I've lost my mouse. Oh, no, here we go. No, let's not talk about that man. Let's talk about this man. This man here, I'm going to change the order just a little bit because we actually received some email this week. So let's talk about this email. Now, we already knew this and this was already in the lineup, but I thought I'd better bring it up because this person really did sum it up very well. We received an email from, sorry, no, not an email, a comment on the post I put up about this from F.W. Scott. Now, F.W. Scott, if you're listening, he says, I read about this on a fugitive site. How come there has been no mainstream cover? Are they trying to keep it silent? If so, that's a lot of power. And then he goes on to say, Paul Devine, Apple Incorporated manager, held in jail until Wednesday, accused of several counts of fraud. We already had this on the show lineup, but thank you, F.W. Scott, for putting that comment on there. Now let's explain what this is all about. The Apple manager, now his full name is Paul Shin Devine. He's on screen right now in the middle in handcuffs, is a product manager, a global supply manager, I should say, for Apple since 2005. He was recently arrested and charged on a whole bunch of counts because apparently he was selling secrets to Asian suppliers.
Wow.
Now, my question, and the post I put up on geekactually.com, is this the source of all of the Apple leaks? If you remember the iPhone leaks and all this. Because it's something I put up in the post that I think is a relevant, was a relevant comment, which was, we used to look forward to the Steve notes. For anybody who's an Apple fan or a computer fan in general, you'd look forward to the Apple keynotes to see what they were going to deliver next. Over the last year, there have been no surprises.
No.
We've pretty much known, if not the details, we've pretty much known the non-specifics of everything that Apple is doing over the last year. And so, first, before anybody jumps on me and says, oh, but that iPhone was found in a bar and Gizmodo, I'm not talking about that one. I'm talking about, if you remember on our show, about a week later in Vietnam, they were dismantling an iPhone. And they put video up of it. Where did they get it from, right? So all I can think is, I'm wondering if this is the source of their leak. Now, it doesn't actually say he was selling industrial secrets, but one can only kind of extrapolate one on top of another and say, if he's selling secrets.
Yeah, you know? Well, exactly.
So anyway, so he's pleading not guilty. He's saying that he didn't do it, of course, but he is up on charges. So we will see what happens after that. Now, speaking of Apple, we have another email from our good listener, our loyal, dedicated listener, Geek Betty, who used to be known as Atomic Betty, who basically sent this email through to us saying, have we heard about this? And it's an article that says that the Australian Ratings Board is looking at putting an Apple Store crackdown. Basically, up until now, if you've noticed, all of the apps for the iPhone and iPad have not carried OFLC ratings. They carry these little generic ratings saying 12 plus, 17 plus. The classification board is actually having a hard look, apparently, at mobile games in general, and they're thinking about starting to throw proper classifications on all this stuff. Just leave it alone, guys. So thank you very much for that, Geek Betty. And we have one more. Now, this actually brings us to some follow-up, which I actually put in the head of the show notes, but I skipped over because it kind of came about because of this. Now, I'd heard a little bit about this on some other podcasts, but I think this really did sum it up that we needed to do this. Yeah. But we have a listener, Matthew, who wrote to us and said, hi, guys. Love the show. Thank you very much. Only recently discovered it and listened to the tech episodes whilst in transit a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Have now caught up and wandered across the laptop gate story this morning. Thought you guys would be interested, but I'm sure you will be hot on this one's heels. And then he goes on to say, anyway, enjoy. I'm sure you'll have strong opinions on this one come Saturday. Keep up the good work, Matt. Now, Matthew alerted us to, now, if you remember the Lower Merion School District scandal, that happened in, I think it was like our first show, wasn't it? Way, way back. I have the article here printed. I don't know what I've done with it now. Where is it? Here it is. Yes, I have it printed here. For those who don't remember, we'll just sum up very, very quickly and say that Lower Merion School District was taken to task because they were activating spy software in the laptops of students while they were at home, and they were taking photos and videos of students in their free time, in their personal time, in their personal space. And there was all sorts of things about invasion of privacy and all this sort of stuff. Well, after we followed that up for a couple of weeks, all went quiet for a little while. Well, now it's finally hit court, and It has now been thrown out of court. No criminal charges will be filed against a U.S. school district that secretly snapped webcam photos and screenshots on laptops issued to students. The FBI and federal prosecutors announced on Tuesday they could not prove any criminal wrongdoing by Lower Merion School District employees.
And thank you, Matt, because you're right. This is incredibly infuriating.
It is absolutely infuriating.
It is just, I literally have no words.
Now, here we go. This is the part that gets me. U.S. Attorney Zane D. Memmiger said in a statement, quote, "We have not found evidence that would establish beyond a reasonable doubt that anyone involved had criminal intent." Okay, now, let's just start from the beginning and say forget criminal intent at this point. It violates their civil rights. It violates their privacy. It violates wiretap laws. And not least of all of this is that there have been rumors that some of these photos that were taken would have shown students in various forms of undress, which also deals with underage nudity, which in this day and age is such a hot ticket item. I'm surprised this got past anybody. But 65,000 photos were taken.
Dude, 65,000 photos, and we already know that one of the principals contacted a student about something that they were doing in their house.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, right there. Breach of privacy. What in God's name could she have possibly been doing that was stolen laptop related?
Well, and they said that, you know, all of this was because of stolen laptops. What, we had 56,000 stolen laptops?
56,000, like...
I don't think they had 56,000 students.
even if it did, like, take multiple photos from, like, one computer and we were gauging that down, that's still thousands of computers. And on top of that, it's like, we know that they use this for non-computer stolen related topics.
Yes. And look,
who are they fooling
at the time that we actually did this story, we actually did specify that one of the reasons why this could all happen is because we don't think of teenagers as having the same rights as adults. And this really does slap teenagers in the face and say, you don't have any rights.
Yeah.
Because... I love this quote here from the Lower Merion School District. It says, "This is all good news for the students and staff of Lower Merion School District as we prepare to start a new school year." I'm sorry, how is this good news for the students? This means that the spying can continue. Because if no charges were leveled, that means that there's been no culpability proved. Therefore, the school can just say, well, we can keep doing it.
Wow.
So I look at this and go, this is just wrong in every sense of the word. And I would say that if you are listening to this podcast and you have students who go to the Lower Merion School District, get out. Get out.
Create some fucking, like, stir about this sort of situation. That this only continues to go on until people stand up against it.
Now, I'd like to point out that the student, Blake Robbins, who brought all this to the attention, in court said... The district photographed him. Now, mind you, they're saying it's only looking for stolen laptops, okay? Yeah. This is important point. I need to put the camera on you for your face on this one. Ready? Blake Robbins alleged the district photographed him 400 times in a 15-day period last autumn. Sometimes as he slept in his bedroom or was half-dressed. How is that searching for a stolen laptop? They know it's not stolen. It's in his bedroom.
Well, they know it because they've obviously got photos of him half
400 of them.
Naked, half naked. You've got photos of him half naked, which means you have him in the photo, which means the laptop is not freaking stolen.
That's right. Absolutely. And
what court?
And if it wasn't actually reported stolen in the first place, why would they have actually even activated the camera?
Dude, no, more importantly, we're talking about 400 photos, right, of this kid. So 400 proofs that this kid's laptop isn't stolen. How in court does that get thrown out?
Absolutely, I agree with you. How? How?
What?
Now, in our chat room, Nordia said, who'd authorize this shit? For what possible positive purpose could it be for? And then Popshot says, burn the school down.
Okay,
I think we're getting a little bit out of control there. Let's not burn any schools down, but it's actually not one school. It's a district.
Mm.
And this is what the scary part is. This is several schools. This is the Lower Merion School District.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just, oh, I got to get...
Mind blowing.
I have to get off that before it just hurts my head. And in that situation, I think what we need to do to clear this from our palate is to bring up this man.
Whoa.
This is John Cougar Mellencamp. Do you remember John Cougar Mellencamp?
I do, but only because of his awesome name.
This is an aging John Cougar Mellencamp. I just can't even talk now. This is an,
it's a hard name to pronounce, dude.
Aging. He's an aging producer. He's an aging musician. No, he's an aging 80s rocker from, well, I said it, from the 80s, of course. John Cougar Mellencamp has now come out and said, and I quote, "I think the internet is the most dangerous thing invented since the atomic bomb."
I am assuming there's going to be a follow-up to that.
No, okay, so what he's basically saying is he's one of those advocates who's basically saying that the internet is destroying the music industry. Mm-hmm. He came out at a a Grammy Museum award. He was given a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. And he has just released a new album, which he says... where is it? Oh, yeah, it says his new album will be available digitally, but it won't sound as good.
it won't sound as good.
No, because he says, to quote him again, iPods render music unrecognizable. He says
unrecognizable.
He says that he listened to the Beatles tracks on remastered CDs and then found the same tracks unrecognizable on the iPod. You could tell it was those guys singing, but the warmth and quality of what the artist intended for us to hear was so vastly different. He said that the internet has destroyed the music business and it's going to destroy the movie business.
Wow.
So, there you go. This follows hot on the heels of Prince basically saying that the internet is full of numbers and stuff and that can't be good.
Well, if Prince said it, then we should all take it seriously.
So, I think all these older rock musicians who really can't, you know, come to terms or get to grips with the modern technology should just all go retire somewhere, you know? Yeah. I'm sorry.
You're all starting to look old anyway, so, you know, I'm just saying.
Popshot says, bullshit! And then he says, they hacked Justin Bieber's Twitter. What's that got to do with anything? Sounds more like technophobia. Absolutely, Numero Zero. It is. It's technophobia.
No. If we want to talk realistically about it, that's so true. It's just technophobia.
Because, let's face
these people are retarded.
Let's just discuss for one little second here, Josh. How does an MP3 actually work? An MP3 compresses by taking away really, really high and really, really low range sound out of the equation to compress the music down, right? Now, this is music that is technically inaudible by humans anyway, right? Now, if you had one of those graphic equalizers that has like 700 channels, you could manipulate and play with all of that upper and lower band music. But on an average stereo system, a two-speaker, you know, boombox or what have you, you're not really going to be able to hear those sounds anyway, right? Yeah. Now, this is the concept of an MP3. You put on your little earbuds and stuff, it's coming through pretty loud, it's coming through, you're hearing the range. You may not be hearing the completely upper and completely lower ends of that range, and it will not replace the lush sounds of a completely uncompressed file, but it is more than adequate for the job. Now we get into things like ACC, which compresses in a slightly different way and doesn't lose those bands, which is what iTunes compresses in. And you sit there and go, really? You can't really tell the difference between an ACC and a CD track.
Even with MP3s, when you start getting up to bit rates of like
192
and so on and so forth, you're not really compressing that far.
Like, I mean, you're taking it, what is it? You're taking essentially what is probably a 16 to 20 megabyte track and compressing it down to about 8 or 9 megabytes. So you're not losing
that
much.
I am still a musical elitist, and I always have been. When MP3 first started out, I was using mini discs. That's right, people.
Mini discs. All right.
And I still have my mini disc player and pulled it out a couple of weeks ago to listen to again. I have found that my music tastes have changed a lot.
Numero Zero is just correcting me. It's AAC, not ACC. Yeah, AAC. Sorry, my mistake. I can't talk today.
But when listening to sound, I mean, I believe that there is a difference between the two. But like you're saying, it's not noticeably different. I've never listened to my mini disc version as opposed to my MP3 because I feel that the soul of the music has been removed.
No, and I've listened to the Beatles music in many formats. I've listened to it on audio cassette. I've listened to it on LP. I've listened to it on CD. I've listened to the remasters. And I've listened to it as ripped MP3 files. And really,
No,
I've never really noticed the difference.
No. I think this man is insane.
I think all of these aging musicians who are sitting there going, "Oh, we really need to just get back to vinyl, man." I'm sorry, I don't miss the pops and crackles of vinyl.
Oh, dude, I do.
I don't miss them. I do. You know, I don't miss how fragile vinyl was. You know,
Dave, I agree. And look, I
hear what you're saying.
I'm gonna let you finish. No, I hear what you're saying, and I do admit that I don't particularly want to carry around a vinyl player every time I want to listen to music. And for that reason, I'm glad. But nothing will ever replace the fact that when you listen to a vinyl, it is the exact recording of what it was in that room at that time. I'm sorry, but every crick, every hiss, every crackle. Nothing's been removed.
Well, so, that's not entirely true.
I know, but that's the way it is.
Now, Numero Zero says the compression is actually just cutting out the frequencies generally impossible to hear by human ears, I believe. That's exactly
what
I said.
Yeah.
So that's basically all it is. Mm-hmm. It's like JPEG files. I mean, JPEGs are lossy compression in pictures, and the way that they work is that they remove certain colors that we wouldn't notice the color shades anyway, you know? No, you can tell the difference between them if you really know what you're looking for. But let's face it, 99% of people in this world are not audiophiles. They are general people who buy their music and listen to it on a boombox or, you know, mini disc player or whatever device they might be using. They whack it in, they put the volume up, and they listen to their music.
And 90% of them will buy bad headphones or terrible speakers. I know this because I sell them to those people.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, look, it doesn't matter to the current generation, dude, so you're
and
dying.
And you know what? And as far as John Cougar is concerned,
John Cougar Mellencamp,
I look at it and go, they're still buying your music.
Yeah.
Be happy, dude. You know? Whatever form they might be buying it in, they're buying it.
Music's subjective anyway. So
absolutely. Now, what is Noisy saying? All stereo speakers these days don't allow you to experience songs properly anyways. Not everyone can afford Truth Studio monitors. I agree. I have actually looked into buying studio monitors for in here, and quite frankly, I can't justify the cost for what we do. I mean, let's face it, podcasting, we go out at 16-bit, but we go out in mono. We go out heavily compressed, you know? It's like, and it should, but you know what? Through the little earbuds, it sounds fine. You know, and you really notice the difference. I've actually pumped one of the podcasts I listen to regularly. I pumped it through a large stereo system, and the bass came out so heavy. I went, ooh, that's not very pleasant sounding. But the headphones, it sounds great. Anyway, we're going to talk about our little science project here. That's the news for the day. Let's talk a little bit about our little science project, and then we're going to get out of here. Now, as we said at the head of the show, we had a system crash. Now, yes, shock horror, it was the Mac that crashed. But let's be very clear about...
Dushy, I'm pointing at you. Macs can die.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving right along.
Now, excuse me, but what actually happened, we think... Now, we're not 100% convinced that everything is fixed yet. There may be a controller issue. We don't know. But at the moment, it seems to be running quite happily. So we're going to just cross our fingers and hope to hell that it keeps working. What I think happened was we just lost a hard drive. Now, But if we... those people out there who say that iMacs are, you know, these machines where you sit there and go, oh, you know, they're disposable, you can't update them, you can't upgrade them. Well, we proved that wrong.
Yes, we did.
We proved that wrong. We decided that it was not good enough for us, and we wanted to see what could happen. And also, I wanted the hard drive out of it because I had files on there that I wanted to see if I could recover, which I haven't been able to. But anyway, we decided to do surgery on this machine. Now, I am one of those people who does name their computers, and so I'll let you know that this is Grace, okay? And
it feels like we're, like, showing off, like, an operation.
It is a little bit like an operation. And I just thought we'd just do this as a little public service and just talk about the process of doing this. Now, there's lots of breakdowns of Macs and stuff online you can find, but we've got firsthand now. We actually did it. So it's really interesting how you get into these machines to start with, though, because everything is through the screen. Because of the aluminium design on these things, you've got to go through the screen. And so the Numero says, hi, Grace. Yes, Grace is up and alive again now. So basically, you use suction cups to start with. And that was a really nice piece of design work, was the fact that there's little magnets around the inside of the screen. You put the suction cups on and literally just pull the glass off.
Yeah, and it's just stuck on by like four, what was it, about
They're like
six,
little pins, yeah.
Yeah, six little pins that hold it into place.
And so that comes off really easily. Then comes the trickier part. And for some reason, Apple has decided that it is obsessed with torque screws.
Lots of different sizes.
Yeah,
torque
screws. Three different sizes to start with. So we had to go out and get an ER Geek style, says Pop Shop.
Yeah, yeah, no, I thought that was really good.
And so, first of all, around the bevel of the screen, there's 12 torque screws of different sizes. We had to actually create a little graph to keep track of all these things. And that removes the bevel off, which is the front piece of aluminium. Once you do that, you then have to take out more torque screws and get out the LCD panel. Now, the LCD panel is heavy as hell.
Dude, we look so incredibly techno right
there. We look really dorky as well.
We are far enjoying that too much.
And as I said to Josh, I said it was nice to have company doing this little operation because, you know, it really is boring as hell pulling computers apart. But there was something about this computer.
Oh, dude, it's fascinating. Mm. It's fascinating.
There was something about this one in particular, though, because everybody talks about the Johnny Ives industrial design of the Macintosh
computers. But we never get to appreciate it.
And I wanted to see what it looked like inside. I want to see what, I mean, the design, his design doesn't just account for the look of the outside cases. It is also how these components fit together. So after we got the screen off, now this is actually, if you're thinking about pulling apart your Mac, first of all, make sure it's out of warranty because this voids your warranty straight off the bat. This machine is 4 years old. The thing about the screen is that it's actually attached by three lines going into the board. There's power, video feed, and so forth. And one of the plugs was a pain in the ass. It was it was inserted upside down and tight as hell. It's actually the power plug. And that took us the most amount of time, I think, and the entire operation was to get that goddamn plug out and then to get it back in again. All right, so what we got now is this is the Mac with its guts exposed. And we found a few things that were very interesting about it. One of the things that really...
Do we have any close-up pictures?
We have a couple, I think. Not many, because a lot of the close-ups actually started to lose focus. But we have this one. This is me getting the hard drive out. The hard drive itself actually came out and went back in pretty simply. That wasn't actually the major part of the operation. We did that pretty fast. But what we really wanted to do was have a look inside this machine. Now, if you're looking at the pictures, we're going to put all of these up on geekactually.com for our audio listeners. Mm. So we're going to put this whole thing up with, and there's actually more photos than what I've got here. I've only put a selection up here. What you're looking at here, though, is it actually has two fans on the inside.
Yes.
And it has one fan on the back, the ventilation port, which you can't see when you lift the front end off. Mm. And this is the part that really got us, was this design of the venting shafts.
Yeah.
And how it cooled itself.
Well, like, do you mind if I just...
No, go for
it. Thing? It took us a long time, guys, to actually figure out sort of how everything worked. And as best as we can tell, without actually possibly wrecking
without pulling the boards off.
Exactly, without pulling the boards off. The best way to describe this computer for anyone, I'm going to try and talk as simply as I can when I'm saying this, but if you look at the picture, can we go back to that last one just because I can use it for people that are actually seeing it. This is a picture with Dave behind the desk for anyone that's listening to the audio show, and my hand's a little blurry, so you might be able to find the picture.
Well, there's a couple of its guts exposed like this.
Yeah,
so
if you look down the bottom of the picture, you can actually see the hard drive there. That's obvious. That's quite simply down the bottom in the middle of the picture. And to the left of it is the CD drive. Those are the obvious ones that you can tell almost immediately. Your speakers are up the front, which come out the bottom of the computer. But where it gets amazing is where everything else is. Because this is where the amazingness of the design comes into it. Because you have the actual motherboard split into two pieces, which in itself is incredible. Because just separating that out takes a lot of design work. Like, it takes a lot of sort of interaction between the two cards. And as best as we can tell, the actual power supply is just a flat board. It has no direct fan on it. It's actually
sitting at the very top end of the panels. So.
Exactly. It's actually right beside the hard drive in the picture on the right-hand side. And what's happening is the fan actually blows across a heatsink, which has pipes running through it that cool the other half of the computer, and the actual chipset is below that. So it's cooling with one fan, not only both cards, and the power supply, but also the chipset, because the chip is under the heatsink.
Yeah, it's a really interesting design because the heatsink is actually upside down. So the processor is actually on the underside of the board in the fan chamber.
Mm.
And so as the fan is actually blowing through to get to the power supply, it's actually blowing past the heatsink and the processor, cooling that down. And basically, the airflow is split, so there's because there's actually a funnel effect. There's another fan on the opposite side, which is obviously helping refeed the air through. Yeah. But eventually what happens is all the air is moving up because the main ventilation is across the top. So the air blows through the pipe, past the heatsink, over the processor, cross the power supply, and then straight out the top of the machine.
And this is the bit that I want everybody to know, because any PC person that, as much as we joke about Macs, I want to point out, as PC users, you'll all find this absolutely fascinating. Dave, how long have you had this?
This machine. 4 years?
4 years. Now, when we open that case, knowing very much that this machine has never been cleaned in 4 years, how much dust did we find?
Almost none.
Like,
only the fan had dust on it.
Yeah, only the fan itself had dust. Nothing else. If you look at
the pictures and how clean the insides of that machine are, that is it. We didn't clean that.
Yeah.
We had a can of air that, if you look, I've got a picture here. Josh is actually blowing air on the fan because he's just clearing the blades of the fan. Mm. But that was it.
Like, literally, all I had to do was clean the fan.
Now, I got to tell you, I opened up my PC case just the other day because I'm putting another hard drive into there as an extra. And just opening that case up. Now, that case I put on a year ago, it's already full of dust.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So it's amazing how clean it stays inside. So which leads me to believe that the heatsink fans have probably got filters. They've probably got microfibers on them, which actually holds the dust out.
Yeah, Numero Zero saying he has to clean his PC every month. That is so true.
It's so true. Absolutely. Whenever you're opening up your PC, you're always having to clear off the fan. You're having to blow the air out. Now, PCs generally run a lot cooler. Why? There's a lot more room in the case. What's amazing about this design of the iMac is how thin the case is for the amount of processor and hardware that is actually packed into that thing. It really is an amazing design. And this is where Johnny Ives, the chief industrial designer of Apple, really excels. Yeah, we all talk about his wonderful, sleek look on the outside. But his internal work is stunning. It's just absolutely stunning how he's managed to piece it all together. This is us in the picture. If you look, there's a photo of us for the audio listeners with a torch. We're actually looking under we're trying to see through the heatsink. We're trying to find the processor. Because when you first open it up, the processor isn't obvious.
Mm.
There is actually a heatsink on top.
Yeah.
But I think we finally worked out that might have been graphics.
As far as I can tell, it is. Yeah. Again, guys, by the way, don't. If you want to correct us at all, feel free to write into the feedback address and actually tell us, because we are basing this entirely on what we saw.
That's right. We haven't actually looked at any breakdowns of it. We're just looking at it from the fact that we had to open it up to change a hard drive.
Yeah.
While we were there, we decided to take a peek.
Yeah, well, we thought we'd take a little tourist trip around the inside of the case and see what we could find. And look, I mean, for that reason alone, I'm so glad that we did that because, you know, it was definitely well worth it. And for anyone that ever wants to doubt our, you know, sort of how much we actually know about computers, this did go back together and does work.
You're watching the video right now.
The video is streaming through the computer that we fixed.
Yeah, so Grace is back alive and is running, and it's taken us a week to get her back up to a standard where we're ready to do the show.
ColorSense says, don't try this at home without a professional or a website.
That's true. And I will say that we actually did have to pull a piece of website information because we needed to find the torque size screws.
But that was it.
I mean, because when we actually opened it up, it was a false start the day before because we had torque drivers. We opened it up and didn't have the right sizes.
Yeah, like, we had ones that started just bigger than the smallest one.
We went online, we found out exactly what size torque drivers were required. I went out and got the torque kit, and then the next day we pulled it apart. Yeah. I like the fact that Northy says his PC fans have LED lights in them. There's so much dust on them, I can't see the light. All right, and then of course we managed to reassemble it. There is a picture of us reassembled. cleaning the LCD screen, and of course, a job well done at the end.
Oh, yeah.
And,
no, I was very proud of us when we put it back up on the table and pressed the power button and it all turned on. I actually thought that that was probably the highlight for me, was just realizing that we actually fixed it.
I think we're going to have to open it up again at one stage and replace the CD drive on it. So yeah. Grace is starting to get a little bit long in the tooth. The CD drive actually died a while ago. I've got an external CD for it. Mm. But yeah, I think we might, now that we've done it, what the hell? We'll pull it apart a couple more times.
Maybe even try and find you a Blu-ray one.
Yay.
This is what happens when nerds fix things. Once they've fixed it, they can then start causing even more trouble.
Next question. How can we make it better and faster?
Hello.
All right, guys. Well, we're out of time. We're going to move on. We've got a film show waiting close to our heels over here, so we better move on. First of all, we're going to just say if you agree or disagree with anything that we've talked about on this show, or if you want to correct our technical knowledge, that's fine. I have no problems with that as well. you can send an email to us at geektech@geekactually.com. That is our official email line for this show. You can also send us a voicemail if you like. We'd love to hear from you guys, so please do a voicemail at some point. It's a Sydney number, 02-8011-3167. Mm-hmm. And you can leave a message there, and we will play it on the show. So by all means, call in. Now, I also want to just throw out a quick shout-out to Josh's podcast.
Oh, me, yes.
Yes, yeah. You. Yeah. So Josh has got his own website at rawdlc.com, mm-hmm. And they put out a great podcast called DLC Live, which is confusing. Why didn't you just call the podcast Raw DLC?
Honestly, we were going to go with DLC Live. There just was, it was already taken. We didn't actually have a choice. So we tried to create a name which incorporated the DLC part of it, but was also sort of a play on what we were trying to accomplish. And Raw DLC was the concept of Raw DLC, as in it was the raw part of what's behind the shows. So it was like all the information.
Too deep, I can't think.
Yeah, I know, right? Look, dude, when you're sitting there, seriously, when you're sitting there and you're actually writing... when you're actually writing down all these names because you're checking them on a website, dude, you start getting very obscure because everything that you want is already taken. So it's kind of like...
It's true. Yeah. There was actually an article I read, actually, and this is 10 years ago, so it's got to be worse by now. Mm. But there was an article that actually said, it is true we are reaching the end of .coms. Mm. Everything you can think of has been taken. Mm. And the article is actually an APC article. They just started to type in random... phrases into a domain name server, and they could not find one, including, and I kid you not, one of the domains they typed in were want a peanut butter and jelly sandwich .com, and it was taken.
Wow, there you go. So like I was saying, it is almost impossible to get a .com address, so that was the best thing that we could come up with. But yes, that's why we called Raw DLC. For anyone that doesn't know or is new to the podcast circle of what we do, Raw DLC is a gaming podcast and website. Head over there and check us out. Two things that I'm going to ask everybody. Sorry, three. Number one, we have a live show 8 p.m. on Tuesday this week because we're going to event on Wednesday. So Tuesday will be when we are going out. So there's that. Number two is, of course, if you guys have iTunes, please give us a review because of the fact that we had to take a week off last week because we were two members down. We actually have fallen off the newer noteworthy page and we want to get back on there. So if anybody can just jump on iTunes, quickly type DLC and just hit enter and just literally click the review thing, all of that stuff will push us back up. Anyone that's in the chat room or anyone that's mm-hmm. listening to this, that'd be great if you can do that. And of course, while you're there, you may as well do the three geek shows, tech, film, and
After Show.
Geek. Oh, is it called After Show actually now?
It's Geek Actually After Show. So it's Geek Actually is a little bit, at this point, people are still trying to get to terms with our naming. Yeah. So we still throw After Show at the end of it because it's easier.
And the other thing is I'm still hoping, sort of inside that I can get some more from people by doing this. We are doing a drive to get a computer. We have a computer which is not letting us do things like camera switching and so on and so forth. We need to buy a better computer. So we are currently doing a drive on the main website. It's up on the left-hand side when you first click on the page. If you guys have got a few dollars to spare, even a dollar, even $5, anything, please. We need the money because I need to get this computer in the next couple of weeks.
Cool. So, Josh is doing his best panhandling again.
Dude, I'm trying, okay? I'm desperately trying. I'm pushing for it.
Cool. And remember, you can always donate to our shows as well if you want to. We have a support link as well.
I'll start plugging you just as well afterwards.
He needs to get this computer up and running. Just remember, you can also support the show in a couple of other ways. One way is we need reviews, of course, on iTunes. So if you go to the iTunes stores, all three shows have their own three feeds, and each show needs its own reviews.
Yep.
So, in particular, the film show really needs reviews, but we'll talk about that in film show time. But, reviews on iTunes. And the other way you can support us is if you don't want to just donate money, because I can understand that, you could go and buy Geek Actually merchandise. We have t-shirts and mugs and mouse pads and all sorts of other wonderful things. If you go to cafepress.com.au/geekactually, you can buy swag. We've got messenger bags and all sorts of stuff, and that way you can support our show by A, advertising the show, and B, a little bit of that money kicks back to us.
Yeah.
Not much, unfortunately, but a little bit. And we're going to have a new range of stuff coming up soon. We've talked about this often. The last plug we're going to give today, of course, is to our very good friend Josh Spencer, who is doing us new album art. They're caricatures of me and Josh. They are fantastic.
Yeah.
And we've already seen the samples. The full versions will be coming soon. And Popshot has said, just rated all three, Dave. Thank you very much, Popshot. He can be found, his work can be found at attackninja.blogspot.com. He is really,
one of the coolest names ever.
In fact, I even made him a little lower third. There we go. So cartoonist Josh Spencer, he is fantastic. His work is really good. And our new cover art is going to be sensational. We're going to put that onto mugs and all sorts of stuff. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And so please have a look at that sort of stuff as well. And I think the only thing we have to say at this point is, remember, for our audio listeners, we do go live. If you want to come in and join this, where you can actually see the pictures and stuff that we play live and don't have to go to the website afterwards, every Saturday we start at 12. We record all three shows back to back. We start with tech, go to film, move to the after show, and it all starts at 12 p.m. Excuse me. It all starts at 12 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time.
Use your words, Dave.
Use my words. It's, you know, it's out of practice, man. 1 week off and you get a lot of practice. And yes, Popshot has mentioned that our 100th episode is coming up. We are at episode 97 today. Two more after this is our 100th episode, and we are looking for people to send us submissions of their favorite moments, because we were going to put together some highlights and some highlight reels from the past geek shows. So that should be a lot of fun. So we are fast approaching that 100th episode now. It feels like so long ago when we first said, soon it's going to be our 100th episode. Now it's around the corner. So with all of that being said, I think we're going to get out of here now. Josh, thank you very much for joining me again.
It's always a pleasure, and I've had a lot of fun on the show.
It is a lot of fun. The tech show is actually at a great way to start the day. It is always high energy. It's a lot of fun. It's a real geek out. We move into films next, and film is such a subjective thing with, you know, which films we like and which films we don't like, that it can be heated or whatever. But tech is always just fun.
Tech is really good fun, and you know what? I was really, really impressed with how actually, you know, sort of tech-minded we looked on those pictures.
That's good, isn't it?
I was looking at it going, wow, we actually look like we know what we're doing. Which, of course, we do.
We've got all sorts of things about domain names now. Northy.com, actuallygeeks.com.
Numero Zero and a bunch of the others seem to be going around and
Numero Zero has looked up twilightisdumb.com.
Apparently it isn't taken.
Wow. Somebody buy that.
That's going to be worth a mint in a week's time.
I agree. That's going to be fantastic. All right. We're going to get out of here because we've got a film show coming up. We've got Celine Roberts joining us for the film show. We've got three film reviews today. Two in the film show, one in the after show. We've got a week to catch up on because we missed that week. And so we got lots of reviews to do. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Guys, we'll see you all next week.